Okay, Chagut Avoch. So we are in Shar Habit Chavis Halvavis Shar Habitochen. Shar Habitochen Perek Shlishi. In the paragraph that starts V'im Kol Zeh. Maybe all the layouts are different as usual. If you want to pass me one of the English ones, I'll find the page. Okay. The call is there. Oh, thank you. There we are. Yeah. Okay, page 388. Page 388 in the fallback. Okay, let's bring ourselves back to what we were up to. We're in the middle of discussing the very loaded subject of tzaddik v'ralo. Why is it that we sometimes will see righteous people suffering various ordeals? Last week we discussed, and the Chayvus Halvavus, just to recap, bring ourselves back up to where we are. The Chavis Halavis said, ultimately, we don't know the answer of any individual case because every person is an Oilam Malay. Every person has his own very, very specific world of dynamics with Hashem. And therefore, the answer in every particular instance is different. Nevertheless, he said, we're not going to leave it at that. And he's going to provide us with a number of understandings that will shed a lot of light, will enable us to approach this sometimes painful subject with more understanding and with, if Chalila, we ourselves are tested, with more of an appreciation for what's happening, with more of a sense of mission, if you will. So last week we discussed explanation number one, which we might say is the most famous, the concept of kapara. We tried to overcome the just broad, general, it's like it's become a trite term, kind of like another way of saying, oh, well, it's a kapara. But to understand the kapara is something very, very big and great. And I just want to add 2 points to discussions of last week and then move on. Number one is really the simple point that obviously the concept of kapara can only really be properly appreciated the more we live with the premise of we're here only for a quick little preparatory period, and that our life really starts, and that our main existence is the next stage, as a Hashem. If we're really living with that knowledge, which is really the basis for it, and it's a very important awareness to be living with anyways, then the concept of kapara takes on much more meaning when we really appreciate how, yes, we would rather undergo things here in this world in order to be in that much more of a perfect state there, in order to have that much more of an enhanced existence there. So that's point number one that I want to stress. And point number two that I want to stress is that last week we made the point that sometimes dafka as a person is growing greater, Hashem will focus more on the faults in order to enable this person to be in as good a position as possible. So obvious question that was raised is, so that does that mean that by getting myself greater, I'm getting myself into more trouble? So the answer to that is twofold. We mainly focused on the understanding last week that, again, let's go back to the point that we're here for Olam Haba. And when Hashem turns his attentions on you and says, you've reached a level where I want to help you get to as high a place as possible. So again, it comes back to the first point. If we're living here for Olam Hazeh, and only for Olam Hazeh, if we prefer the quick 150 years here to the billions of years of eternity, then yeah, you might say, why start the whole system in general? Live it up now. You won't even have the 120 years to live it up. But live it up now for as long as you can, and then forget about eternity. But if we understand that we really are here for the eternal level, then we can once again appreciate that, on the contrary, it's because I'm growing closer to Hashem that Hashem is giving me that attention and is going to facilitate, is going to help me get to the best state I can be there. So is it worthwhile to grow? Again, if you're interested in is Olam Haba, this is just another branch of it. If your entire purpose in this world is this world, then why put the effort into growing in the first place? It's easier not to even try to forget about the fact that Hashem gives you more attentions. Why bother? But it's also more than that. It's also more than that, because this whole concept is really part of a bigger package. When we talk about that sometimes dafka because of a person's growth, Hashem will give more attention to their faults and make more of a point of cleansing their faults, etc., it's part of a much bigger package. When a person grows, he grows closer to Hashem. This means that Hashem turns his attentions on that person more. This involves a lot of more siyata dishmaya, a lot more of Hashem's favor in life. And it also includes that. It means that you're entering a closer relationship with somebody. Whenever you're entering a closer relationship with somebody, every time, when you have a relationship with a person who lives on the other side of town and you say hello every so often, you don't get much out of that relationship, and you also don't suffer much from that relationship. You suffer a lot more from your closer relationships. You also get a lot more from your closer relationships. You enjoy closeness. You enjoy warmth. And you also enjoy, and you also experience the effects of being close to somebody, which will include difficulties. You know, those difficulties also contribute to the profundity of the relationship. It's the same way with Hashem. We're not saying, oh, a person grows, and now all of a sudden Hashem becomes tougher with him. That's one part of a picture. As long as you have a parent, the parent can be very nice to the neighbor and just say hello all day to the neighbor's kid. He's going to be tougher with his own kid. He's also going to be giving a lot more to his own kid. He's also going to be investing a lot more time with his own kid. So it's part of a bigger picture. Hashem, his attentions become more focused on you. There will be more siyata dishmaya in your life. Hashem will be showing you, if you're looking out for it, the more you grow, the more you'll see Hashem involved in your life. And it will also include that. But it's not the whole picture. It's not the equation. Very simple. Person grows, he gets tougher treatment from Hashem. No. Person grows, he gets a lot more attention from Hashem on all levels, including this. And this also is a part of the closeness. It's a part of the benefit that Hashem says, by the time you do come back to me after your 150 years, I want you to be in the best position possible. But that's really just one aspect of a closer relationship. Okay, let's leave it at that. And let's move on to the Chavis HaVavis. His next point. So that's point number one, the kapara aspect. So in the paragraph that begins Ve'im Kol Zeh, a bit into the paragraph, Ve'yesh She'yeh, the first two lines were the kapara point. Now the next point, Ve'yesh She'yeh al derech ha'tmor bo'ilam haba. Sometimes a righteous person, a good person will be put through an ordeal, not because of kapara, simply in order to earn them more schar in Olam Haba. Now, what does that mean? Kamay shekasuv, like the pasuk says, le'tivcha ba'achrisecha. It says Hashem put you through ordeals and difficulties in the midbar in order to give you an even to better you in the next at the later stage. Now, this has to be understood, because what are we saying? It's kind of like this is virtue in suffering. Like, what's the idea? You suffer and then you get more schar. What's the idea? Do we believe in that? That suffering is a virtue in and of itself? Is that what Hashem wants? Hashem, the truth is, we learn Chavis HaVavis and many other sources, that really Hashem wants you to serve Him in a from a place of enjoying life in this world. It's not that you have to suffer in this world in order to gain the benefits of Olam Haba. On the contrary, all kinds of mitzvahs that are there to enhance our lives. We just enjoyed Oneg Shabbos yesterday. And on the contrary, the ultimate, the ideal is for us to be enjoying this world and the next world. And Hashem gives us the means of doing that. Enjoy this world with hard work. Question. What's that?
And we shouldn't say yes, it's good to suffer.
Oh, okay. So we have to put it all together because he did just say that. He said, sometimes Hashem makes you suffer. The words were, sometimes Hashem makes you suffer in order to give you more schar in the next world. So let's put it together. It has to be put together. In other words, you're bringing out that, yes, we have a certain discrepancy here that we have to put together. So let's put it together. So we'll start by saying the following. When we say that Hashem wants you to enjoy this world, I want to build this up from the beginning, even if this involves obvious things. That doesn't equal having an easy life. Hashem doesn't want you to have an easy life. Hashem wants you to work. On the contrary, much of the real joy in this world comes from work. Even just talking materially, really enjoying life, real gratification in life comes from enjoying the fruits of your hard work. Right? People who just have all the material things they want that come to them easily, they quickly move into a place, and they're not working hard at all. They don't bear responsibility. Look around at the world. Forget Ruchnius. These people quickly move into places of depression, et cetera, et cetera. That's not really a way to enjoy a long, sustained life. Long, sustained life comes from enjoying material pleasures. Physical pleasures are there to, they help us enjoy the real joys of life. They can't really provide a joyful life. Good food is a very geschmacka side benefit of a life of joy. But we know that a life of joy really comes from the pleasure, the gratification of the what we've built for ourselves, of efforts that we've invested in a family. Even if you want to keep it more material than that, a person who spent years building up a business from scratch, who started out penniless and spent years building up a business from scratch until he has a highly successful business, is going to be enjoying his money a lot more than a person who was born into great wealth and never lifted a finger. So when we say that Hashem wants us to enjoy, it doesn't equal Hashem wants us to work, and he wants us to enjoy that work. But he wants work, he wants dedication, and he wants us to enjoy the rewards of those efforts, both in this world and in the next. Now that we say that, I'll just give an example. I told this a few times that I had a relative who was learning in medical school, and she was with a group of other girls, other religious girls, in the apartment that they had there, and the hechsher in the area weren't the best, right? Very compromised hechsherim, and to go get hechsherim was a 20-minute, to go get food with a better hechsher was a 20-minute, a half-hour bus ride away. And many of the other girls weren't interested in making that trip. And they would tease her. She always made a point of once or twice a week going, taking the half-hour bus ride and stocking up on food, bringing back food to the apartment for herself. And they would sometimes tease her. They would say, well, you think Hashem doesn't want you to eat? And her answer was, she would say, oh, I think Hashem has a lot of good food for me out there, and he wants me to enjoy. And he also wants me to see me putting in a half hour for him. Right? He wants to see both. Hashem wants us to show our dedication to him also. And that involves work. It involves effort. We do that by raising families. And we do it by keeping mitzvahs. And we do it by being meticulous about halacha. And we take an approach that, yes, Hashem wants us to enjoy, and Hashem also wants us to work. Now, to take it to the next level, like we said before, when a person has the attitude that Judaism is about being a suffering Jew, right? Gloomy existence in the hope that maybe Hashem will manage to repay me one day after 120. That is Catholicism. That's not what we believe in. That's not what we believe in. If that's what we believed in, then look how many of the mitzvahs, right? How many of the mitzvahs involve straightforward physical pleasure, right? We talk about Simchas Yom Tov. We talk about Oneg Shabbos. We talk about so many other things where Hashem is setting us up for a life that involves a lot of pleasure. But you know what? There's also Yom Kippur. Hashem wants us to serve Him in all ways. Hashem wants us to serve Him through joy. Hashem wants us to serve Him through effort. And Hashem also, there will be an ingredient of, sometimes I'm going to challenge you with more than difficulty. Sometimes I'm going to challenge you with suffering, with hardships, for the purpose of challenging you there also to see if you can dedicate yourself to me on those levels also. So the point is suffering a value that we believe in as this is the way of Yiddishkeit? No, certainly not. But we do believe in the understanding that Hashem might challenge us in all kinds of different ways, and we want to be ready to accept His challenge and live up to His challenge in whatever way it is. Like the Maseilas Yesharim says, all the different circumstances of life are challenges. Wealth is a challenge in Ruchnius. Poverty is a challenge in Ruchnius. Having a large family is a challenge in Ruchnius. Being lonely is a challenge in Ruchnius. But you know what? Whenever we say the word challenge, we really have to translate that into its synonym, into its synonym as far as Ruchnius goes, and that is opportunity. Every circumstance in life carries opportunity. Carries opportunity for us to prove ourselves, for us to grow closer to Hashem. And one of those things are ordeals. It's one of the things that Hashem does to challenge us, to give us another opportunity to prove ourselves, to prove our dedication. That's why, probably quoting this for the umpteenth time, Avigdor Miller would say, the word nisayon, test, is... the root of the word is nes. Nes means a banner. Because any nisayon that you're handed is actually an opportunity. Hashem is saying, this is a banner for you to wave. What's a banner? A banner is where I show my identity, right? I show my identity. I show who I am. By show I'm associated with this team. I'm associated with this army. The flag is where I show. This is what I'm proud to be associated with. This is how I'm proud to identify myself. I hold up that flag. So Hashem is saying, I'm handing you an Isayan that you take that. Afterwards, you'll be able to hold that up as a flag. This is what I made myself into. This is what I made myself into. Now in this world, just one moment. In this world, you're not going to run around flaunting that on the back of your shirt. But it's a flag that you're going to carry with you in your ultimate existence. This is going to be a claim to fame. A question.
Yes.
There is such a thing. I mean, there isn't such an ironclad rule. Meaning, there's definitely a part of our life that Hashem says, I have a program for you, and I'm not taking your instructions on that. But there is definitely also a part of life where, yes, and you know what? I want to finish bearing out the point, and I want to spend some time on your question because it's a fundamental piece in this picture. So now, let's take what we've been discussing and apply it to what the Chavis HaLevavos says. So let's take an example. I have a person, I think I actually gave this example the last time we discussed this. I hope no one remembers. Actually, I shouldn't say that. Okay. I hope you remember, and this will be a beneficial review. But you have a person who excels in the midah of Sefer Panim Yafos. Okay? A person who excels in that midah, always greets others with a big, bright smile. It's a beautiful midah. It's a midah that gains you a lot of profit because you are giving people lifts, right and left. And Hashem says, wow, you've reached a certain peak in the smida of Sefer Panim Yafos. You are now generating, let's call it $1,000 a smile. Okay, we're just trying to, for our purposes, okay? $1,000 a smile. As you walk through the street, as you go through your day, you are dispensing them generously. And no, that really is a very, very profitable business. A little good word, a smile. Oh, we're getting a request to repeat the question. I'm going to repeat the question before we answer it, Lina. Yes. Okay. Now Hashem says, you peaked. You've maxed on this smida of Seva Panim Yafes. Hashem says, I want you to gain more through it. You've been working on this smida. I want you to gain more from it. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you a toothache. Now, up till now, every smile you gave was worth $1,000. Every smile that you give with a toothache is worth $5,000. Now, the truth is that even that's a faint illustration, but this is very literal. Now, you have a toothache for 2 days, and you have to realize that applying yourself, trying to just apply yourself to your regular midah of Sefer Panim Yafes is now gaining you that much more. Person, you have a bacher who's a big masmid. He learns very well every day. Hashem says, today I'm going to give you a headache. Today I'm going to give you a serious headache. Can you come in and sit down and learn in the same way? Now, that seder is worth 50 times more. But we have to take this a step further. Chazal tell us an equation. Chazal tell us, Pam achas b'tzar yusam imeya shalei b'tzar. Something that a person does through pain, when it's hard, when it hurts, when it's painful, is worth 100 times more than when you do it shalei b'tzar, right, without the difficulty. Let's take Chazal and really apply it. So this is one of those statements that we're so used to that it's like it becomes trite, just like kapara, right? We become so used to it that it becomes trite. But listen to how amazing this statement is. First of all, just take the equation itself. Chazal said that means that it's serious. Okay? So that means that, yeah, I said that if your smile without a toothache is worth $1,000, a smile with a toothache is worth $5. But that Chazal is saying that it's worth $100,000. So isn't it worth it to have a toothache for a day? If you really think about it in those terms? Now, I want to take it a step further. This is something that I felt was very, very relevant back in the days of lockdown. Remember those days? Let's go back to that bacher. You know, a very serious mas wakes up with an excruciating headache. So the way I worded it before was that the test is, can you put in that same seder with the headache? Let's say the guy says, I can't. I usually learn for 4 hours straight in the morning. I can't get in more than an hour now. Did he fail the test? Let's go back to our equation. A normal seder is 4 hours. With this excruciating headache, how much is an hour worth? 100 hours. 100 is 25 times more than four. So that means that he couldn't get through more than an hour with his excruciating headache. And he got 25 times the value of his regular conscientious morning seder. Everybody with me on this, please speak up if the cheshbon isn't good. This is very, very fundamental to understand. So now let's take it to lockdown. Okay? There's very much a sense of Hashem is challenging us on all fronts, right? On the way we interact with the people around us, our children, our spouses. Davening, no minyanin, you're davening at home. What kind of standard is your davening going to be? Learning, everything else, right? So the challenge is, here Hashem is saying, I want you to be meiser nefesh now for your davening. I want you to be meiser nefesh for your learning. I want you to work extra hard to be able to talk nicely and keep up good spirits for the sake of the family around you. You say, come on, is it realistic that I'm going to hold on to my full standards of davening and learning and the way I talk to my family in this kind of situation? The answer is no, it's not realistic. If you can operate at 20%, you are generating immense schar, right? You're getting that much more for your efforts. Yeah, I'm snapping at the people around me more now. But I'm trying. It's hard. but I'm making that extra effort. I'm keeping myself conscious. I'm not allowing myself to just slip into a rut of just, even though it's dragging me there, the reality is dragging me there to just be grumpy and worse. But every so often I remind myself and I give that push. And you know what? This may have made that little period, wasn't such a little period, something that really brought us to much greater heights and suddenly turned the things that we're doing on a daily basis into something of much, much greater value and enabled us, if up till now we were reaching up to here, all of a sudden it's a period where we're operating here and feeling like we're failing to a large extent. This is what the Chovos HaVavos is talking about. Now Hashem will sometimes come and say, you're operating on a certain level, I want to enable you to reach a lot more. And therefore, can you keep up? If I put you through a challenge now, you always had a very solid level of emunah. Can you hold on to that emunah through this? All of a sudden, your emunah is worth that much more. Can you hold on to your ben adam l'chaveri through this? Person chalila in the hospital, able to smile at the nurses or the doctors who are coming in, might be very difficult, but realize how much more it's worth now. With the headache at home, forget the hospital, right? With the headache at home, etc. I think that it's, once we understand this properly, I think that it's easy enough to understand how all-encompassing this is and how we can apply it to so many areas and how, yes, suddenly we see how, like we're saying, are we saying that suffering is the ideal? This is how a Jew should be, a suffering Jew with a gloomy face. And no. But do we understand how? It's not the suffering. It's the difficult situations. What they can do for us, how much they can accomplish for us. And I'll add that if you can approach it this way, you're actually suffering less because you're approaching it, you can approach it with a sense of mission, with a sense of purpose, with a sense of triumph. That's why I'll throw this in. But there's a famous Gemara in Brachas where Hillel was coming home. He had been away. He's approaching his hometown and he heard terrible shrieks coming from the town. And he said to the people around him, no chance that that's coming from my home. This can't be going on in my home. At full bitachon. So the question that the Mefarshim ask is, woman, as we're seeing here, he's a very great man, a very righteous man, but who has a guarantee against tzaras? Like, what does it mean? No question, it can't be coming from my home. Why not? Great people will put through, you know exactly even what was happening. So the Shlach says something amazing. It wasn't that Hillel was saying it can't be that some misfortune hit my home. Hillel was saying, my family would not be shrieking like that. Because what we just discussed now, apparently he had really inculcated, hammered into his family, said, that's not what my family would sound like, no matter what was going on. They would be approaching it, we're not looking for tzaras. We look to avoid tzaras. And when chalila tzaras do come, we do our best to alleviate them. But at the same time, while it's happening, to embrace it as an opportunity, to embrace it as a means to very, very great growth, to very great perfection. And that's where such experiences do turn into a value. So first of all, I hope that it's clear, as far as your question, but I hope that it's clear we're not turning suffering into the Jewish ideal, but we're saying how it definitely is. And it's just like, you want to utilize the good times to get close to Hashem. You want to utilize whatever he puts you through. And the truth is that most of life is going to have both things going on at the same time. Just there's going to be shifts in the balance. Now, to take this, now let's go back to the question that was raised earlier. Can you choose your forms of suffering? And the answer is that, like we started saying, that was the question that was raised. I just want to make this clear for whoever didn't hear it. Is there such a thing as choosing your forms of suffering? So in the most extreme sense, we have the example of the Tana, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, who actually davened for illness, right? He was afflicted with terrible suffering at 9 in the morning. He would daven that it should go away. And he had his reasons for doing that. We're not getting into the whole story of the Gemara there. He wanted to utilize the opportunities that suffering provides. We don't operate that way. We certainly don't. but challenges will come our way. But where does this come into play? So largely it's in the mindset, but there certainly is such a thing. And I'll give a few examples, and I think that that will provide enough for us to be able to understand the concept. The simplest example, well, is more relevant for me than for the women sitting here. To my mind, okay. Fundamental part of a man's spiritual program is learning Torah, right? So, Reb Chaim Volozhiner says something very blunt that, you know, I might feel like it's sacrilegious to say something like that. But Reb Chaim Volozhiner says it very bluntly. The disciple also makes this point. So, you know what? Sometimes learning is suffering. Chas v'shalom, learning is always the biggest pleasure that there could possibly be, right? Sometimes learning is suffering. Sometimes it's hard to learn. It can be because you're not in the mood now. Sometimes I'm really in the mood. My mind is clear. I feel energized, etc. And I say to myself, you know, and a person could move into a place of, you know, when I'm up to it, I do it. Right now, I'm just not up to it. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, woman, you're not up to it now. Now you have a headache. On the contrary, here's an opportunity to bring two things together in the greatest way possible, the greatest mitzvah possible, and also to use it as an opportunity to embrace suffering in order to grow closer to Hashem. I'm going to choose now to open a Gemara and sit down and learn with a headache, even though I realize, like we said before, my productivity level is going to be at 15%. But we have to come back to the Pamachas Betzar equation. Always have that in the background, whenever this comes up. The Cheshvan of Pamachas Betzar. Chazal were literal. When we say 100 times more, that means 100, they say, Yosem it upon. It means more than 100 times more. Which makes any such situation where you feel like, I'm not even going to really be able to, I'm going to be so far from my normal standard. You're going to be less than 100th of your normal standard? If not, then you're profiting. So, or the Chaim Volozhiner says, you feel like moving on, you're not in the mood for reviewing. Reviewing often can be boring, right? But it's very, very important if you really want to get the Gemara well. Decide, now I'm going to accept upon myself the suffering of a review when I feel like, all right, Shane, I want to just move on. And I'm going to put myself through that ordeal. Here you are choosing suffering. And if Chalila, it was decreed on you that you have to go through. Sometimes there's a very clear gzera, and the person has to go through a very specific experience. There, this won't obviate that. But sometimes it's not like that. Sometimes Hashem says this person has to go through 100 pounds of difficulty this year. Here, there is certainly is such a thing of a person saying, I'm going to choose it in the most ideal way. I'm going to choose it in the most ideal way. I'm going to choose it by pushing myself to learn, but I'm not up to it. I'm going to choose it by, here's another very powerful example. The Stipler talks about this. I'm going to throw myself into ordeals that other people are going through. Have a neighbor who's going through a hard time, and I'm going to decide to throw myself into, I'm going to be nice about oil, to really take on part of what they're going through. The person is actually choosing to take on suffering that can, once again, the person can be yet to that, and the person doesn't know what he's sparing himself from by doing that. There's another example from the Gemara of. Gemara doesn't spell it out this way, but it's the same concept. The story where Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had a dream. He had two nephews who were businessmen. And he had a dream, Rosh Hashanah time, that there was a decree in Hashemayim that they should lose 400 zuz this year. They should lose 400 zuz. Motzei Rosh Hashanah, he got on their case. Began badgering them for tzedakah nonstop. He would come to them again and again, this time for another cause. He was milking them for whatever he could. And they already, okay, I'm getting a little more dramatic than the Gemara says it, but this is basically what was going on throughout the year. He kept on nudging them and trying to schlep more tzedakah ahead of them. And he got to, I'm getting the amounts right, by the mamish toward the end of the year, he was up to 387 zuz. and again, he had seen that it was decreed on them to lose 400 zuz, right? He had gotten to 387 zuz that he had schlepped out of them to tzedakah. It was already the end of the year, and apparently, okay, they'll tell, you know, chashav uncle, we gave a lot, and we can't just keep doing this. They were arrested shortly before the end of the year. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai came to visit them in jail. They were all worried. They don't know what are the charges, what are they facing. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, don't worry. The whole thing is going to amount to a penalty of 13 zuz. As you know this, that was exactly how it played out. They went to court. For some reason, a penalty of 13 zuz was imposed on them. They came back to him afterwards and they said, how'd you know? He said, I had this dream. I saw that you were supposed to lose 400 zuz. That's why I was trying to schlep whatever I could out of you. At the end of the day, I got to 387. The other 13 were taken by the government. So they said, so why don't you tell us that in the first place? I said, I wanted you to do the mitzvah l'shem shamayim. So this is an example of unconsciously choosing. But we need to understand that anytime we decide to push ourselves, go beyond our comfort zone, to do something that's difficult for the sake of a mitzvah, for the sake of the Adam L'Chaver, helping somebody out. And it's not just that, oh, it's very important to help the person in this way. It's that there is special value in me choosing to put myself through discomfort in order to help that person because I'm gaining the benefit of Yisurim. I'm gaining the benefit of Yisurim. And there's the two sides of the coin. You may actually be Yoytze with that Yisurim that were decreed on you. But even more importantly, you're gaining the benefit that we're talking about. You're gaining the benefit of the Pamachas Bitsar. So yes, if we understand it this way, we understand that there's a lot of room for us to decide to choose what discomfort we want to suffer for that value. For that value. And by doing so, we can actually be Yoytze, if Chalila, Yisurim were decreed upon us. So, a question. So I think we've made this point. This is really the second point of the Chavis Halvavis of why a great person might be put through suffering or difficulty. I have a question.
Going back to what you said, what I heard and read also is before the Neshama was born, they could ask, Hashem shows them the life and they choose whatever. Sorry, I think I also read this in the Sefer Yoda with Amos Dabar, where the person's given, whatever, the Neshama's given three chances, whatever. But the person's nifta, Hashem shows them, if they, you know, does a judgment, he'll show them what Gehenna looks like, or he shows them what they're built to be. And that's where their choice comes in. But once we're in this, we're in the Alba, I guess, in the Siona. We say that every morning in chapter, and it's a very moment to actually ask for it. It's what's done before Shemayim, the Neshama chooses the suffering.
Okay, so I'm gonna step away from the Gilgul part of things because I'm not familiar with the subject. I'll just make a couple of comments. There is such a concept, and I don't know it. I don't know the sugya. But what we're discussing is something a little different. We're not talking about, like you said, we do not ask for suffering. We do not ask for nisyonos. However, we do embrace it, both the suffering and the nisyonos, with the understanding that, to a large extent, that's what gives our life its purpose and meaning. Now, I want to say another thing. Another thing is that, and here also I want to draw the example that Yogi, I keep forgetting to articulate the question. The question was that the concept of choosing Yisurim seems to be limited to the situation where a person went through life, arrived at the next world and was offered the choice of, do you want to go to Gehenim or come back as a Gilgul in order to go through certain ordeals and thereby to rectify what needs to be rectified? So there is such a concept, but that's not the whole discussion. It's true. When we're in this world, we don't ask for suffering. We don't ask for nisyonos. However, we're always alert to them. And we're alert to the value that they carry. And when they do come, the ability to be able to embrace them, like we said before, with a sense of mission, even more than that, bisimcha, with the understanding that Hashem is sending it this way, like we said before, is an opportunity for me to elevate myself. I just want to finish rounding it out and we'll get to the next question. Now, I want to round out also that there is the concept of Gilgulim and having to go through things in order to rectify things from a previous life. But there is also such a thing as nothing to do with previous Gilgulim, nothing to do with previous mistakes. Ordeals are sent my way because this was the purpose that I was given from Sheshes and Eberashes. Every person has their very own program. And sometimes a person will be dealt certain challenges because he has a very, very specific role in Hashem's world that is part of his piece in the puzzle of the very, very broad picture. And that's not an issue. We shouldn't make the mistake of thinking that suffering by definition is for some wrongdoing, whether in this world or in a previous Gilgul. There is that, but it's not limited to that. Just let me, there's another question. Okay, so now that's point number two of the Chavos Al Vavos. Now we'll address a couple of questions here. Please feel comfortable to get up and leave if you need to do so. Yes, question you're going to ask.
I don't know if you're concerned, but what about something, a toothache is obviously something you don't bring upon yourself, but what if
oh, okay. Good question. Now I'm going to remember to repeat the question. The question is, we say that we don't look for Yisurim. When Hashem sends them to us, we embrace them. We do our best with an appreciation of what we're doing. We're mekabel be'ava, but we don't look for Yisurim. There are situations where it seems like there's a certain value in actually inviting it. For example, example given was a very commonplace enough example that some difficult person comes your way and wants your attention, wants your help, whatever it is, you're not mechuyev to do it. And you know that by agreeing, you're taking on yourself a difficult few hours, a difficult day. You're getting yourself into something that's not going to be easy. So here, it's already different because you're talking about taking on Yisurim that actually is a mitzvah. This we don't have an objection to. You always have to make the cheshbon, right? It's always a balancing act of, should I be doing this at the expense of my yishuv hadas for my family, etc. But no, in just taking the concept of in and of itself, an opportunity comes my way to take on something that's going to be uncomfortable, even painful, for the purpose of doing a great mitzvah, there we say that, yes, there is value in doing that. You're not always mechuyev to do it. Often there are other factors to consider here. Take a person, another example, right? A person who decides, for example, to donate a kidney, right? There, a person is, it's not that the person decides, I want to go through suffering in a vacuum. There's something very great to be achieved here, a very, very great level of chesed that's going to come along with a lot of suffering. And here, the person makes a guided cheshbon, a proper cheshbon, and decides, I'm going toward this. So he's gaining both the value of the mitzvah, and he's also gaining the great value of the suffering that it involves when he's embracing it in the right way. Did that answer the question? Okay. Wait, another question.
Quite the same question. Let's say that the people have different sensitivities. I'm just throwing out an example. The next 3 days after that, you really feel so sad about the it wouldn't be touched at all. I'm just using that as an example, but like, how do you play off things? How do you balance things?
Oh.
And how do you say what?
Oh, so this is another example. You have a mitzvah in front of you that you know is going to put you into difficulty, pain, going to visit someone in the hospital when you know that it's going to affect you very, very negatively and will get you very down. There's no way to give clear guidelines about these things. There are many, many, many times where you can volunteer for mitzvahs. So first, let's just come back again to the main point. We're reiterating that suffering in and of itself is not something that we go involved in. But there are many, many situations where there's a mitzvah that you can do. You can decide to do, you can decide not to do. It's not a chiyuv. It's not something that is in your life, whether you like it or not. But you can decide whether to do it or not to do it. If you do it, it's something that has great value, but it's going to take a toll in terms of suffering.
I'm saying more than that. I'm saying, you don't get up the next day because you don't get to school on time, you've got their lunch.
Right.
I'm saying it's impacting.
It's impacting all kinds of other areas of life.
Yeah.
Whenever it comes to, right, whenever it comes to Yiddishkeit, in so many different ways, is going to be a very, very great balancing act. So we're talking here to a room of Jewish wives and mothers. And the truth is that it's relevant for Jewish husbands and fathers too. A major priority is taking the measures to maintain and to provide myself with all the menuchas hanefesh and yishuv hadas that I can get to give my family what they need materially, emotionally. That's our top priority. That's our top priority. Now, this doesn't mean that now we're closing off the door to anything else, but it does mean that we have to weigh things very, very carefully. No, don't just dive into a situation like that. Don't just dive into a situation like that. When is it warranted? When is it not warranted? Has to be approached on a very time-by-time basis. But it is important at least to have the general factors for consideration in place. When a person, you have to realize that the truth is that raising a Jewish family is also another example of such a thing. You're deciding to dedicate your life to commitments that are going to keep you over your head for many years, right? And they're going to be hard to keep up with often. And that is something of immense value. And that's our greatness. We put ourselves into a position that people who are living the material life aren't willing to put themselves into such a situation. We take on things that we know are going to keep us occupied. And that's our greatness. That's our greatness. And we have to be reminding ourselves of that and not moving to a situation of, okay, well, this is regular life and where are great things that I can do outside of that? And for a mother, a father, to find ways to give themselves, now this is everything here is a double-edged sword. Sometimes a person will really appreciate this point and turn it into an absolute obsession to make sure that I'm making myself as comfortable as possible, right? And that becomes the big mitzvah that I'm doing in life, making sure that I always have peace of mind and yishuv hadas and comfort, etc., because I heard in the shir that it's very important to have that. And everyone has to choose a favorite mitzvah. So you do have to realize that investing in your own yishuv hadas is chesed with your family. And at the same time, we don't want it to turn into a self-centered business. Sometimes dafka doing the chesed outside of the home is what reminds me that everything that I'm doing in the home is that also. So we don't want to close ourselves off to that. We also certainly can't let it take over. And therefore, the answer to the question is, it's a fine balance. That was basically the question. It's a fine balance. The answer is, it's a fine balance. But let's appreciate the balance. And I'll add another point. That struggling with the balance is itself an achievement. Trying to figure out what's the right thing to do is itself an achievement. But we are going to say that we're going to put, especially when we're talking about, if you're talking about a person who has a lot of leisure and there's not much going on in their day, should certainly be much more open to taking on things that are sacrificed for other people. When a person is engaged in avodas hakodesh of family needs throughout the day, then that has to carry a lot of weight in terms of the decisions that you're going to make without completely closing it off and really turning it just into a self-centered business. If that wasn't so helpful, that just reflects reality. What was that? Okay, good. Another question was, someone's going to say something else?
I
Okay, so I suppose we're ending here for this week. Agutavach.
Agutavach, thank you so much.
Rabbi, thank you.
Same to you. Same to you.